going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Pull up, Joe. Was the foul on Amen Thompson dirty or not? And I'm tossing to Sam Lubman for an update.
Yeah, with 323 respondents in so far, 53% are saying yes, 47% are saying no.
It's just a 50-50.
Look, right. I'm going to say it again for those that are just tuning in. Like, my personal interpretation, he missed, like, it was like a push midi, and he went flying after it through two or three guys. He was probably going to get a foul whether he tripped or not, because he was going to crash into the back of someone. And then Draymond and him are jostling for, you know, whether Draymond's boxing him out or whatever. I didn't think Draymond pushed him, though. His foot looked like it got tangled up with Steven Adams. I thought he was doing too much, is the way I would describe it, okay? And it was an unfortunate consequence of him doing too much. Jimmy's in a vulnerable spot, up in the air. Reckless is the way I would describe it. I didn't think it was malicious or intentional. That's my personal perspective.
I thought the entire game, including that play, was a recipe for potential disaster. When you looked at the series before it even started, and maybe disaster is strong, but we mentioned it, a pound of flesh being taken during the playoffs. Like, this is something to monitor going forward with older teams, specifically the Warriors, who their three best players are all 35 or older, is you wanted to get this thing done sooner rather than later because rest is so important for this team in particular, more so than any other team remaining in the playoffs, more so than Denver, more so than the Lakers. I know LeBron's 40, but he's got two 20-year-olds as his running mates. Steph doesn't have that. He has two 35-year-olds as his running mates. The Celtics, you know, Jason Tatum got hurt, but you got Jaylen Brown. He's in his 20s, right? You got so many other players. By the way, Porzingis looked incredible yesterday. Band-aid on the head and all. Celtics are still a problem, even without Jason Tatum. But you look at all the other teams remaining. They have young superstars. Warriors don't have that luxury, so that's why I thought it was so important yesterday to try to go up 2-0 in that series, and you knew the Rockets were going to come out firing, and they did. I thought if you could keep it around single digits, keep around maybe 10 points within fighting distance, you could get back into that game. In the fourth quarter, there was maybe some opportunities there, but it went back to Steph. It went back to Draymond and those sloppy turnovers, whether it was coming up like Kevon Looney trying to double team when he didn't need to double team, when he should have just left Steven Adams alone. There was opportunities in this game for the Warriors to get back into it.
The attention and to detail wasn't there.
It wasn't there.
And you know what? They were better.
And now the margin of error has shrunk exponentially because you don't know the health status of Jimmy Butler going forward. And now you're playing with real fire in this. And it's not, listen, they can't control that. Injuries happen. It sucks that it happened that way. And hopefully nothing is going to be super serious when it comes to Jimmy Butler. But I'd be shocked if he played Saturday. And all of a sudden you look up, if the Houston Rockets win Saturday, now they got home court back.
Okay, wait, I hear you.
We'll get to the game, but that's, things can change that damn quickly in 24 hours, Joe. And it did.
They went from Kuminga might not see the floor ever again as a Warrior to, oh my God, I think we need Kuminga in the rest of this series. Even if Jimmy does come back, he's not playing 43 minutes a game. So, look, in the first quarter alone, all right, they set the tone physically. Fred VanVleet was up in people's faces. Him and Draymond
he
had to get separated.
He still can't hit a shot. By the way, Quentin Post, you're a foot taller than him. If Fred VanVleet's guarding you, just shoot over him. He can't block you.
Is it Amen or Amen?
It's Amen.
Amen. All right. Amen Thompson and Draymond just crashed into each other and went flying to the ground twice in the first quarter. Dylan Brooks and Draymond got tangled up twice and both went crashing to the ground. Guys, that's a physical playoff basketball game. Now, the Amen Thompson play is, again, I thought it was a little extra. It was a little reckless, but I didn't think it was malicious from my vantage point. But I thought that the Rockets set the tone from the jump. We are not going to back down. We're going to be in your back hip. We're going to run through your shoulder, and that's how we're going to play. And that is how they play. And that's how they played all year.
Well, did you think the refs did a good job of letting it go? Like, did you think the refs had a game yesterday?
Well, look, they
David Guthrie, Courtney Kirkland, and Sean Corbin. And them boys.
I think the way that with any game with Draymond and Dylan is going to be officiated where they're going to be on top of it. They're going to try to be on top of it. That team and Dre by himself, and this is where I want to go to the rest of the guys on the team. Dre can't just be the physical guy to not retaliate, but to step up to them all by himself. Somebody else is going to have to step up.
I actually thought Draymond held his cool for the most part.
I thought
that
so
game.
Too.
Like, I actually thought. I thought so too.
That was and Moses Moody jumped in there and grabbed him and pulled him back. You know who actually came to play yesterday when we haven't talked? Moses Moody was aggressive.
Well, he set a hard screen on Amen Thompson early in that game, setting the tone physically
end too. Yep. I thought so too. And then Pat Spencer wasn't backing down.
No.
I thought Pat Spencer came to play.
Technical with Amen Thompson.
You know, so now look.
Pat Spencer.
This is a game that the Rockets were in control of from the jump, and I thought that their whole mentality, they set the tone early on before Butler even went down, and it carried over afterwards. So, look, I mean, that's just what it is. Like, people can lose their minds and disagree with me. That's fine. That's basketball.
Some people are saying it's not basketball, and the physicality got out of hand early, and the refs let it go. And, you know, that cost the Golden State Warriors, and it wasn't fair to them. That's what I'm seeing all my time. I'm just saying, a lot of fans are feeling that way. Do you feel that way? 888-957-9570. As you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app, and now broadcasting live from the Laughing Monk Studio. Wow, I see a name on the line we haven't heard from in a minute. And by the way, before I go to this caller, do you know this? We have a draft show today because there is the NFL draft, which is happening, which after that game yesterday feels like a distant part of my brain where I'm paying attention to it.
We're going to draft Dylan Brooks in the fourth round.
Yeah, well, he might be a great
play free safety.
No, he's going to be the replacement for George Kittle. The draft show is live from 6 to 10. Today, 95.7 The Game, leading you up to every Niners pick and reacting and analyzing after. It's going to be Grandy, Evan, and your boy, Sterling Bennett. Friday, it'll just be Grandy and Sterling. I'm just reading what it says on the script here. So we got the Grandy man, we got Evan and Sterling reacting tonight. All the picks, all of it. And what are the 49ers going to do with the 11th overall pick? We shall see. But in the meantime, let's go to the phones. Rob is in San Bruno. Rob, it's been a minute. Good morning.
I miss you, buddy.
How we feeling?
Good morning, fellas. Miss y'all, too. I've been feeling good, you know. I'm up. My thing is this, man. Warrior fans, stop that crying, all right? All Houston doing is bringing that physical. They matching that same energy Draymond brings. That's all they doing. They bringing that same energy. Don't cry about it. You know what I'm saying? It's a physical game, and the Warriors need to play their young players. Houston not a skilled team. They probably got one or two skilled players. The Sejan and the guard, I forgot his name, Green. Other than that, they just up and down the floor hustling, playing hard, getting the easy shot and getting to the rim. You know, the Warriors need to reciprocate that. You know, put them youngsters in there. Let them youngsters run with their youngsters. Match that energy. And then when it's close, then you run your stuff and let the veterans take over. But if you think he's going to run up and you think he's going to outskill these talented dudes, you're not going to just do that. So my thing is play Kuminga. Let Kuminga go off. You know what I'm saying? Let him do his thing. Curry don't get his. Draymond, you got a scoreboard in 10 or 12 points.
Thank
you can't
you.
Be out there fighting. You can't. At the end of the day, you out here solo. You don't have teammates that's built like you. Jimmy Butler out. Ain't no Klay Thompson. So they not going to do all that. Steph Curry ain't going to get into it all. Like, they need to focus on Get them youngsters in there. Let the youngsters keep. I thought Moody played well. I thought Moody wanted all the smoke. I thought Kamiga wanted to. He came and he played well. I thought Spencer, he showed a little toughness. Let them dip NBA players. Let them go out there and play. Keep it close. And then you hope Steph and Drake can bring it in the fourth quarter. Because at the end of the day, you're watching the playoffs, the Pacers, the OKC, they're young. And they're athletic. You know what I'm saying? If you think we're gonna run the split action and we're gonna do the motion, that ain't gonna work all the time. They going on straight youngsters, young energy. That's all they doing. So the Warriors need to reciprocate that when they close. Then that's when you bring out your championship mentality. But to think you're just gonna run them same sets on them dudes is not gonna happen like that. I'm sorry.
Hey Rob. I need a great call. I love it. It is a little hypocritical from Warrior fans. I mean, I'm not saying every single one of us has, but like the amount of people that have come at me when I've crushed Draymond for some of his shenanigans to be ready to just crucify this young man, Amen Thompson. It's a little hypocritical. I feel like.
No, it's very hypocritical, and I think the Thompson boys, you know, you look at them Thompson boys and twins. They was on two bad teams a year ago. Now they both in the playoffs, so they must be doing something right.
It's true.
At the end of the day, you can't cry about it when Draymond do the same exact stuff. So at the end of the day, it's time for Draymond to be an OG. You know, no winning, doing no winning, and put some points up. All that fighting, you done match and match now. You got your match, you got smoke. Now it's time to play basketball now.
Great call. And you know what? Like,
thanks, Rob.
The part that gets kind of lost in all this, Amen Thompson had three fouls at that point. And Dylan Brooks had two fouls.
It's Alperen Şengün, by the way, Rob. Just Şengün.
It's okay.
It's all right.
Şengün also had a foul. Like, you had them in foul trouble. You were in the bonus early in that game.
Yep.
And you could not capitalize on it. You could not make them pay for it.
No.
The point about the athleticism is one well taken. Look, everyone's going to say that Kuminga looked really indecisive. He did. He looked like a guy who was afraid to make a mistake. He looked like a guy who had been benched.
Yeah,
three games.
He looked like a guy who's had DNP's coaching decisions for the last
and was looking over his shoulder afraid. So that being said, they ran one pick and roll with him and Steph Curry, and he went right to the lane with a left-handed layup. They need him. If they want to get out of this series with a, even if he comes back, we will all agree, Jimmy will be compromised to a degree. They're going to need Kuminga. Guys, we've reached the point. You didn't need him before the fall. Now you do.
Do you need Jonathan Kuminga to get back into this series now as it's tied one game apiece?
I think you need him more than GP2.
Wow.
And it's evident to me.
888-957-9570. Let's pick that conversation
whether
up
or
on
not
the other
Jimmy
side.
Comes back.
Same number to caller text. Jenny in LA, Oreo Cookie, John in SF. Let's get into it. And it's going to be brought to you by Cache Creek Casino Resort. Anytime the Warriors kept trying to scratch, get back into that game, the Rockets had an answer, and his name was Jalen Green, Dylan Brooks, Tari Eason. Those guys showed up when they did not in game one, and that was the difference. Also, Jimmy Butler going out with 2 minutes to go in that first quarter. Amen Thompson undercuts it. Was it a dirty play? Was it not a dirty play? We can continue taking your calls there. 888-957-9570. We are coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in San Francisco. And the guests today are the people, Joe. We want to hear from them. Jenny, Oreo, John, we'll get to you in a second. But you said something heading into the break, Joe, that I thought was very interesting. Obviously, we know about the Kuminga history the last few weeks. Really, since ever the team has gotten Jimmy Butler, JK's role has been diminished. It's been kind of redundant. We already know what Steve Kerr feels about it. Whenever Jimmy's out there and Draymond, he's not putting JK with them. Jimmy plays 40-plus minutes every night, it feels like, in the playoffs. So the minutes for JK are slim to none, and they've been none these last few games. Now, he had an opportunity yesterday. Came off the bench, 26 minutes, 4-12 on the floor, 2-5 from beyond the arc, 11 points, a block, couple of assists. What did you make of Jonathan Kuminga's performance, and how crucial is he going forward if Jimmy Butler does have to miss some games?
He wasn't great, but he also wasn't as bad as everyone is making it out to be. Was he tentative and, you know, quote-unquote indecisive? Yeah, so was like every other guy on the team. I mean, Moody at times was a little indecisive in the lane. How many times did he pump fake in the lane and not go up with it?
Pajemski.
And Kuminga and Moody both missed two threes each that were in and out. Like they were halfway down and out. So I actually thought he took good shots. He had a leak out layup, which this team desperately needs. How many leak out layups have they had in two games?
I couldn't even tell you.
I mean, the Jimmy Butler play at the end of game one, right, and that one. Like, they don't get a lot of easy transitions. He also had multiple layups that should have been foul calls that weren't. I think JK has a lot more to bring, and I think obviously as the game went on, he played a little better. People just need to like come to grips with the fact that if Jimmy is compromised even a little, they're going to need his athleticism. And I think they need right now, forget the offense, on-ball defense. Gary Payton is not guarding anyone in this series. The Gary Payton from 3 years ago and the defense that everyone thinks he has, his defense is closer to Buddy Hield than you want to admit. And no one wants to admit that out loud, but it's not great right now. GP2 also is very tentative around the rim, but at least he can, you know, finish around the rim. So I think we're going to need the guy, and I think everybody needs to take a deep breath. It's they have now punched you back in Houston, and now you have to counter. Guy Santos, right, looked really good in a small amount of time in game one. He didn't look that great in game two.
No.
That doesn't mean Guy is done for the series. It just means like, hey, I gotta shake some stuff up.
Your boy Trayce Jackson-Davis got a couple minutes yesterday.
Okay. Like, he wasn't great and he wasn't awful.
No.
You know, Kevon Looney,
I know you'd want to see him for like a couple minutes at the very least at times. And I know he came in garbage time. So I just had to throw it out there.
So like, you know, Buddy Hield hasn't played well. I don't think he should be playing much right now. I think that Moses Moody, to me, I would try some sort of combination of this. If Jimmy can't play, let's just say hypothetically, my starting lineup would be Steph, Moody, JK, Draymond, Quentin Post. I would try that. I want to go with some offense, go with a little perimeter defense. I think that helps them out on a couple different levels. I would try that. If they don't want to go to that, fine. Then let's go, you know, Steph, Pods, Moody, Draymond, Quentin Post.
It's unfortunate because, again, and I mentioned in the first hour, I mentioned it again, last night was a reminder when Jimmy Butler missed most of that game about this Warriors team without him and what we watched for the first half of the season.
Yeah, but when he wasn't here, when you gave Jonathan Kuminga the start and you gave him big minutes, he was your second leading scorer.
Sure, I'm going on the defensive end. That's what they missed the most yesterday.
They missed playmaking.
It was the playmaking, the team defense, the interior defense, the on-ball defense for Jimmy Butler. They don't have another defender on that team. And I love Jonathan Kuminga. He's not the defender that Jimmy Butler is now. He does have size, and you can combat what the Houston Rockets have with him. And I agree with you. There's going to be moments in this series now going forward where Jonathan Kuminga needs to play to either be on Jalen Green if Jimmy Butler misses time, or be on the Tari Eason, or be on someone that is getting their shot going. Because I don't expect it to be Jalen Green every single game, but someone's going to have it. Like, for as bad as Houston was offensively in that first game, like, they showed up yesterday. They were hitting the shots. Like, I expected shots to go in at points yesterday for the Houston Rockets that I did not expect to be going in that game one. And that's a credit to them, but also that's a testament to how important Jimmy Butler is defensively for the Warriors. So if they are going to miss him, yeah, it's going to be a huge loss. And can they win the series potentially if he has to miss more than one game? 888-957-9570.
Is their problem more for you after this game on the offensive side or the defensive
side? It's the defensive side for me.
See, I disagree.
I think defensively without Jimmy Butler, it's going to be very difficult because I do think what we saw in game one, they held the Rockets to 85 points. 85!
Joe.
They were getting to the lane and getting dunks on
them. This is a team that scores 110 to 115 every game.
Yeah, I know.
And with Jimmy Butler, it was even better than that. So, to me, I think their problems start on the offense. Yes, their defense has got to improve. I don't disagree on that.
But you're giving an offensively challenged team a slight crack into that window to open up.
Who's a threat on offense right now?
For who?
For the Warriors.
For the Warriors, who's a threat on offense? I mean, always Stephen Curry.
Okay, and?
Quentin Post now.
Okay.
But you're asking.
Hence my point.
Yeah.
Okay? Hence my point. You cannot play these combinations of GP2, Looney, and Buddy Hield together anymore. You cannot be playing these
three. Well, I'm with you on the Buddy Hield thing. Like, I don't know what's going on with him. 16 minutes yesterday, 2 of 4. Buddy, is he going to show up at all this series? I don't know. I'm waiting.
I don't disagree that defense is going to be an issue. And we know that this team hangs their hat on defense. I agree with that. Right now, their big problem is their offense. Their offense fueled the poor defense because they had so many live ball turnovers and so many bad shots that led to big rebounds where they got out in transition. You were not able to set up your half-court defense, all right? And then when you were in your half-court defense, I thought you lost your principles of that defense by overextending. Like, for example, there was a play, I believe it was Thompson. Draymond Green comes flying out on him,
yeah.
Okay? He's not a shooter.
Nope.
He leaves his feet. He goes right by him for a dunk. Know the personnel. Know who you're playing. Understand that. That was not JK. That wasn't Moses Moody. That wasn't, you know, Pat Spencer. That wasn't Quentin Post. That was the defensive leader on this team in Draymond Green. Three different times, Draymond Green was the guy guarding Amen Thompson and lost sight of where he was to come over and overhelp on Jalen Green, beating and blowing by his man at the point of attack, and you allowed an easy layup or dunk to Tari Eason or Amen Thompson. So, like, yes, their defense has got to get better, and they got to clean that up. Right now, I think their problem is on offense. You know, Steph is getting hounded. He's turning the ball over at the top of the key. They're getting into late shot clock, cruddy shots. And the only guy on this team who looked decisive in that game offensively, Pat Spencer. Moses Moody.
Yeah. I thought Quentin Post, as the game went on, got more confident. To your
Joe,
point.
If this team is not going to be able to score 100 points against this Rocket team,
they haven't in six straight games against them. They have not scored 100 points in. Let me be real quick. Five of the last six games, they have failed to score 100 points,
including
the playoffs.
What does that tell you? This is an offensively challenged team.
Yes,
Houston went quote unquote off yesterday. How many points did they score?
They scored 109.
Okay. And a bunch of that was garbage time. At least 10 of that was garbage time. 109. And they went off. And your defense was awful. So I guess my point is, you've got to score 100 offensively. You need to play more offensively tilted lineups. And I think it starts with Quentin Post playing more. I think it starts with Jonathan Kuminga playing more, quite frankly, over GP2 currently. GP2 has lost his confidence shooting. He is not a good matchup against this team on offense. And you're stuck with non-shooting, non-threatening lineups. And if Draymond Green is not going to look at the hoop in the first two, three quarters, you're in trouble.
What are you more concerned with without Jimmy Butler right now, Dub Nation? Is it the offense or the defense for the Golden State Warriors heading into Game 3 at home now? It shifts back to the Bay Area. So we do know that role players tend to play better in the playoffs, Joe. Where? At home. So hopefully that's going to be a wake-up call for Pajemski if he feels better. He was dealing with food poisoning, according to him, when he spoke to the TNT broadcasters last night. Moses Moody. He's shown a little bit of flash here the last couple games. Can he be more aggressive offensively if Jimmy Butler is going to miss Game 3? Quentin Post shows some flashes finally. And Pat Spencer, maybe get some minutes for him and Jonathan Kuminga as well.
I think the Pat Spencer thing is not so much more about Pat Spencer, but more, and this is...
Well, riding the hot hand for me is what that was about.
This is my point, Joe. I love Steve. We all love Steve. He's a legend. He's a great coach. But there are times where it's like, Steve... What about the game I'm watching?
Mm-hmm.
What about the guy who's hot right now? And then you actively don't go back to that guy who's hot? Like, that's the part that frustrates me. Pods was clearly not 100%. He wasn't hitting anything. He didn't look right. He didn't have the same energy. You went back to him in that third quarter? You should have went back to Pat Spencer. He played really well.
Let's go to the phones here. They've been hanging on tight. Jenny is in Los Angeles, wants to join the conversation, 888-957-9570. Jenny, good morning. How are we feeling about the loss last night?
Not great, but even worse listening to you clowns today, honestly.
Wow.
And I live in the Bay Area. I'm visiting my son right now, looking at his four signed Warriors jerseys on his wall.
Why are we clowns?
Okay, so let me just get this out. So first of all, the refs dictate what's happening, and for them to allow so much to happen is not right because people get hurt. And their coach knows this, and their coach encouraged it and said, don't worry, you're not going to get the calls. Number two, you guys are just bending into pretzels. Oh, the guy's young. Oh, he didn't mean to. He dove into him. Undercutting a player in basketball is the worst thing you can do. It's the number one most dangerous thing. Why are you excusing that?
Because he was falling.
Jenny, put Potter down real quick.
One second.
Do you honestly believe that Amen Thompson did that on purpose? You think he intentionally dove into his legs?
Absolutely. I have eyes. I watched it from every angle. Yep, absolutely.
And you didn't see Draymond Green boxing him out and slightly pushing him forward when he was already doing that, obviously pushing the momentum towards Jimmy in that play.
No, he could have fallen down.
That's what it was. Okay, Jenny. Well, when you start off the call with calling us clowns, I mean, I was.
Oh, she might be friends with my wife, who thinks I'm a clown. So you know what I mean? Like,
I'm with you on that one.
Hey, look. If how she feels is how she feels, I'm not gonna disrespect her in that sense.
Call?
Like, she deserves her opinion. Like, it's. That's part of fandom, you know? You know, it's like you're allowed to fan however you want.
My prerogative, I thought
the guy was doing too much. It was unfortunate. It was a little reckless. I didn't feel like it was malicious. She does. And that's, you know, we disagree. I don't want to call her a clown. Kind of sucks she called me one, but whatever. We move on.
Jenny in Los Angeles, but not in Los Angeles. She said she was up here in the Bay Area. 888-957-9570 is the number. We'll get all that information that comes out. I promise. We're scouring the internet. We're watching it. The MRI, whenever that happens, the results from it, we will relay that information to you. Speaking of that, let's hear from the
head. By the way, she quietly said, I'm looking at my son's 4 autographed jerseys. Clearly family money going on there.
Well, maybe she just got lucky.
I'm very jealous.
Maybe she won one of the 95.7 contests.
It's a clown question, bro.
Don't do that to her.
Just saying. Steve Kerr. On his emotions when Jimmy Butler went down.
You know, there's really no time to even feel any emotion. You just respond and react with what you have to do in terms of, you know, making a sub and trying to think about new substitution patterns, who you want to pair together, all that kind of stuff. So obviously feel terrible for Jimmy. Hopefully he's okay. We'll see. He's going to get an MRI tomorrow. And BP, really proud of him for making the effort. You know, he's been feeling terrible all day, and he tried. He got an IV at halftime, just didn't have it. So tough night. We'll bounce back.
And here's the head coach talking about the foul that Jenny in LA called dirty.
I haven't seen the replay. I asked our guys behind the bench, and they just said it looked like there was some physicality on the rebound, and I think Thompson just, you know, inadvertently found himself underneath Jimmy just based on the, you know, the tug of war that was going on there. So, I mean, we didn't think there was anything wrong with the play. It's just one of those plays.
I mean, so is he a clown? I don't know.
They watched the replay. His own assistant and coaches said, yeah, no, it was inadvertent. So nothing to see here, right?
Well, look, maybe I've seen all these highlights. Everyone's showing me. I don't know about all those other plays. I'm just going off of what I saw last night, all right, and how I felt in the moment after seeing it. It was like, oh, no, Jimmy, please get it. It reminded me of Steph. It looked just like Steph, just like from, what, a month ago? Yeah. You know, and it's like, ugh. I just thought it was inadvertent is a good word, actually, for it. It was unfortunate was the word I was thinking of. I didn't think it was malicious. A lot of people do. I don't know, man. I think you guys are kind of – you're making it seem like once you're falling to the ground that you can, you know, like in midair pull a matrix and try to do certain things. It sucks that Jimmy was in a very vulnerable spot, and he got him where he got him as he was like – I don't know if he was trying to brace his fall. I'm not really sure what exactly he was trying to do. But there's so many plays in that game where both sides of the team have got elbows to chests and they're getting physical. I don't know if the refs let it get a little too out of hand. I just think this was an intense playoff game amongst an up-and-coming team that wants to prove a point against a dynastic squad of Draymond, Steve Kerr, and Steph Curry. Listen, can we also acknowledge that? Like, this is a coming-of-age series for them.
Absolutely. 888-957-9570. And we know, again, I want to reiterate this. Warriors fans know what dirty plays look like. They've been on the receiving end of them. They've also had players that have done them. Zaza Pachulia on line one, Kawhi Leonard. We've saw him. That was a dirty play.
And
it's okay to say that. Hey, remember that play? It was a regular season game. I'm not even going playoffs here. Remember when Vince Carter undercut Patrick McCaw?
That was bad.
That was a dirty play. That was a dirty play. But again,
that was in transition. Again, he was running.
And Vince Carter did not. And Vince Carter, Hall of Famer, great person. He's not a dirty player.
No.
But it was
a bad play.
It was a bad play.
It was.
It was a bad play.
And later on, he acknowledged it.
Yes.
But like I differentiate the two. So like the Danny Green play.
He's running
unobstructed on a guy who's going in for a layup, and there's no one else there. There's no push. You're not jostling. You don't lose your footing. In this one, you're boxing out.
Yep.
You're jostling. It looks like he steps on Steven Adams' foot. I can't tell if Draymond pushed him. I don't think he did. Maybe it was a slight. I don't know. I just feel like we slow these things down and we look to like crucify these guys. I hate it, man. I don't like any of it.
What do you think about
Jalen Green? I actually thought the Jalen Green elbow on Draymond, though not, it wasn't like, you know, criminal act or anything. I was like, what are you doing, Jalen Green? That's not a basketball play.
No, it wasn't. And that's why he got called for the flagrant.
Yeah, and he should have. And he should have.
And I don't think we're talking about it as much because of what Draymond did after the fact when he felt it. And then he did the, yeah, his greatest acting job right there.
And,
so.
And like Stephen Adams, his own teammate was involved in the play, Amen Thompson there.
Yep.
If the Warriors looked up at the scoreboard as the replay was going on, when they show those replays, and they thought something was malicious, wouldn't one of them have done something?
I agree.
No, I'm asking out loud. Like, because I know when something happens to one of my teammates, and I'm not pretending to be some enforcer, but like, if I felt like someone crossed the line, I would have at least gotten in someone's face.
Draymond would have said something after the game.
You would have seen the bench react in a different, I thought. And maybe the more people see it, I don't know, man.
I think there's a lot baked into it. He's a rookie. He's 19. He hasn't shown any history of dirty plays, even though we had a caller try to say he's been a dirty player this year. I was like, no, he's been a physical player, but he wasn't dirty. I thought yesterday's game did not cross the line. The Jalen Green one, sure. But other than that, I thought it was just highly physical, very intense. And again, I'll say this. I thought Draymond Green, for the most part, held his own emotionally in check. I know that was one of your keys heading into the game.
Yeah.
Draymond, they're going to try to get in your head. They're going to try to get in your dome.
Yeah.
Oh, and they tried to, by the way. The fans were chanting F you Draymond at one point. They were chanting it. Brian Anderson bringing it up on the broadcast. And Draymond Green even mentioned it after the game.
It's not original. Been there before, won a championship while it was happening. So, yeah, it's not really an original. Can't steal other people's that belongs to Boston. So
I was there.
I kind of just kept it pushing.
I was there for that, and I'll tell you this right now. The blank you Draymond chants that went on in Boston weren't just for a possession.
Mm.
They happened the entire Game 3 and in chunks of Game 4. And it was all in unison. I'm talking about old white ladies from, you know, Sully County. Like, screw you. And I'm paraphrasing. Draymond. And the chant was unreal. Unreal.
And Draymond alluded to it, I think, after that game that it got to him. It shook him up. He's like, I was shook.
I thought yesterday Draymond in the first couple of quarters was, like, awful.
Mm.
Now, he had a great block in the fourth quarter on Tari Eason at the rim. A sick block that's not going to get remembered because they could have cut it to single digits right then and there. And they never could capitalize. The Rockets would either answer, they'd get a stop, the Warriors would make a turnover, they cut it to 11 multiple times. I think this is more about the Rockets than it is about what the Warriors didn't do.
Let's go to Tony in Santa Rosa. He wants to talk about those Draymond chants. Tony, good morning to you. How are we feeling, man?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you guys doing this morning?
Great.
I mean,
I'm alive.
It's a hell of a game last night.
Yeah, hopefully Jimmy's doing okay. I mean,
for real.
Not even just for the game, just for himself. That looked like a pretty nasty spill right there that he took.
Yeah.
But I called in because, before you brought it up, Spadoni, I was just going to say, what do you guys think about those FU chants? I mean, I guess it's fun to do now when Draymond's in the building. Obviously, they got it from Boston a couple years ago, but I didn't know if I missed something. Because usually with Draymond, at least it'll be warranted, you know, a flagrant foul, some kind of attack, not just because, hey, let's just do it, guys. Just start the chant randomly.
Well, this is what I was
a little surprised at that.
You know, it's funny that you say that because so like when I was in Boston, Dre obviously had said some stuff about Boston, but some of the fans made it pretty clear to me. They're like, it's pretty hard to hate Steph Curry.
Yeah.
Like, he sucks and we don't like him and da da da. But, like, we're not going to go out of our way to chant things at him because he's so good.
Yeah.
Draymond is just good enough and just not good enough to where he makes a great villain that you can pick on. Whereas if you pick on LeBron or Steph Curry, no, they're going to crush your soul when it's all said and done.
Well, remember leading into that game, or in that series, I should say, early on in the playoffs, he was doing the Hollywood Hulk Hogan in Memphis, like doing the whoop that trick. He was jumping up and down. He's like, yeah, they're getting blown out in that game. And he was jumping up and down. And yeah, so he was making himself a character, and he has a history of that baked into it. So all of that baked into the equation, I thought he held his own emotionally pretty damn good for the most part. The bench is cleared after a timeout. You know, Tari Eason trying to throw the towel. He got a technical. Ends up hitting Pat Spencer, of all people. And he's like, Pat's like, what the hell did I do? Well, maybe he didn't like his mustache. I don't know.
But here's the thing. When you're officiating, I don't think you're allowed to interpret intent, right? Weigh on these things.
You can't judge intent. Like you can't be in the mind of the person,
right? But there are things like, should it have been a flagrant one? All right, yeah, probably. I'm talking about the Amen Thompson play. Yeah, yeah, probably. I'll meet everyone right there. There's no doubt about it. But, like, I don't know. I don't think it's going to warrant a suspension. Who knows, man? I feel like if you show that video to 100 people, depending on their fandom and who they like and who they don't like, you know, if I showed that to Miami.
Oh, of course.
What do you think they'd say? That's just a hard-nosed basketball play.
Hard-nosed basketball play. I thought Miami was going to steal that game yesterday in Cleveland, by the way. They almost did. Bosco is in San Jose and wants to talk about one Draymond Green. Bosco, good morning to you. How you feeling, man?
Gentlemen, we know the guy's history. He has a history. He has a history of poking James Harden in his eyes, of kicking Mr. Adams in his groin, and stepping on someone's. He has a history. So when he's on the court, just watch him. We know what he's going to do. He has limited skills, good defender. Offensively, he's a bust. So all he's going to do is muck it up. Let's muck up the waters, especially when I know we're going to lose the game. He is a clown. He pushed Thompson from behind, shot him underneath Jimmy Butler, and guess what? Butler's gone. KD's not coming back. Poole is gone. Guess why? You got a clown that's Draymond Green that you guys are kissing his ass. Please tell me why.
Wait, what did Draymond do yesterday, Bosco?
Draymond Green away 700 times on this show for the last 5 years.
Bosco, what did he do yesterday that made you so upset?
I'm not upset. I told you what he's going to do.
Call him a clown. I've been calling him a clown multiple times. I think you are a little upset. Thank you, Bosco in San Jose. Like, I'm not upset after you just eviscerated the guy for a minute. Come on, man. Look, there's a lot of hard feelings right now. I understand. You're tied 1-1. You're heading back to game 3 at home, and you might not have Jimmy Butler. All of a sudden, 24 hours later, this series. I can get away from you fast if Jimmy's going to miss some time.
I think we need two songs. We need the old one, the Tears of a Clown from The Temptations. I believe it was The Temptations. And then we need Tears of a Clown from Nicotina.
I have Nicotina's in the system. Just look up Tears of the Clown in the system first.
Wow, bro.
Yeah.
Hey, we all got to hit. Hey, everybody, hit the vape pen. All right. Hit the bong rip. Take a little puff of the J. Everyone just relax.
Well, real quick,
you got the game one that you needed.
Well,
you split the series.
Well,
Houston.
I don't know, Joe. Like, if Jimmy Butler's going to miss a couple of games here, like, what is your concern level with this? Like, do you still think they can win this series without him?
I need to find it. I'm not going to lose my mind until I find out exactly how long he's going to be out and what is this
MRI?
I'm
asking you the question right now, though. If he has to miss the series, do you think they can win?
Knowing it's Jimmy Butler. Knowing how, when it comes playoff time, this dude becomes the Terminator.
You're not answering the question. If Jimmy Butler misses this series, can the Warriors still win it?
If he misses the series, they can win it. I mean, are they likely? I don't even know. Like, it's more of a toss-up.
Okay.
But the other part of this is this. If Jimmy's out for this series, he's probably not coming back for a while. That's not good. Like, you miss the series, that means you probably broke something, which means you're probably out for the year, which means it's a curtain on the ceiling for the season.
Well, it could be a deep bone bruise. We don't know what it's going to be like. MRI
X-ray
results
was
today.
Negative.
The X-ray was negative, according to the source from Tim Calacami of the SF Standard. X-ray was negative, but we need to see more with the MRI, get a deeper picture.
The guy who called in, I don't even know.
What did Draymond do yesterday that really
upset?
Well,
he was boxing out Amen Thompson.
And then he kind of slipped in front of. Like,
well, I couldn't tell if, like, the elbow. I didn't think he pushed him, but I don't know. Maybe he did.
Offensively, you can get on him for, like, he needed to be a better scorer.
Why'd you hit that?
Because he didn't push him.
I didn't think so. I saw, like, all these different replays. But here's the problem with replays. From all these different angles, I could talk myself into anything.
Right, exactly. There was a foul yesterday that they were talking about on the broadcast, and it was just Ime Udoka challenged it, and it ended up being, you know, Jalen Green lost out of bounds or whatever it was.
Yes.
They challenged it, and it was Guy Santos.
It did go off Guy, yeah.
And he hit him on the
arm. That was actually a great challenge.
It was a great challenge. So, there's so many different camera angles we're not privy to. But at the end of the day, Jimmy Butler is hurt. He missed that whole game, basically. And the Warriors lost because of it. But Stephen Curry, there's no excusing. 6 turnovers. Draymond Green, there's no excusing. 5 turnovers. Like, that's 15 turnovers to the Rockets' 10. It was sloppy basketball offensively. And that gave the Rockets life throughout. There is something to be said about Jalen Green really being the only other guy that was that efficient. Outside of Dylan Brooks, who was 6-12, he had 16 points.
I said Dylan was good in this
game. No, he was really good. Jalen Green, 38 points for him.
He looked like Ja.
He was incredible. incredible.
He looked like what Jaw has looked like at times against the Warriors.
Like, is he going to do that again? I'm not so sure, but it's not even about if he does it again.
His defense was great.
Well, no, it's the confidence that he now has in himself that he didn't have in game one.
I was listening to Grandy and
Evan.
And Evan Giddings last night. God,
crushing it.
The fact they both have G's in their last name, I always confuse the two
double
of them.
Double G's.
Their last names. So I'm listening to the two of them, and Grandy made a point. I'm not sure where I stand on his point, but he goes, you know, I could make an argument, and I'm paraphrasing Grandy here, that Jalen having such a great game in this one might put him into irrational confidence for the next couple.
We're doing the Dylan Brooks thing. He hits the first couple, and then you said that yesterday. I was like, well, Dylan Brooks still has a good shooting game. So
he hit some really big contested shots. What do you have, 15?
He had 16 points. Yeah, he had some insane fadeaways. Yeah,
really good. And late shots. In the shot clock, Draymond all over him, you know. But the other thing is like, guys, it's okay to admit it. Steph Curry was very careless with the ball. Draymond Green was very not assertive, not aggressive, indecisive, and making bad passes in the first half.
I think Steph realized without Jimmy Butler and no one else really stepping up offensively, I need to start distributing the ball a lot more. He did have 9 assists, but part of that was him holding on to the ball way longer than he needed to. And the Rockets, to their credit, double-teaming him. Like, Ime Udoka, he's like, all right, Jimmy Butler's out of the game. Blitz Steph. I'll live with Pat Spencer and Quentin Post beating us. This guy is not beating us.
But you know what? Like, again, little silver linings. I'm not trying to, you know, play.
Bradley Cooper.
Quentin Post hitting some big shots in the third quarter. I think there's something there.
You needed
with him.
Some confidence. Yes. Coming out of, like, you needed some confidence in some of the players coming out yesterday.
Four threes?
Quentin Post pulling up here. He was four of eight from beyond the arc for 12 points yesterday for QP Quentin Post. The defense, work in progress to say the least, but offensively you need something because Lord knows Buddy Hield has not been giving it to you. Guy Santos did not give it to you.
If I watch another Buddy Hield, GP2, Kevon Looney lineup in the playoffs, my head's going to explode.
It was a tough watch.
It's a toilet lineup. I don't want to watch. Offensively, it's a toilet lineup.
Quentin Post actually talked about yesterday.
Buddy. I mean, the way people talk about JK is the way we should be talking about Buddy, who has been playing 15 minutes in every game and giving you almost nothing. Actually, nothing would be good because he's been a net negative.
It's not been good.
And I'm rooting for Buddy, but it's like, dude, he's doing nothing.
But he's a great teammate. I'm just letting you know. That's what they love. Quentin Post... I like how this thing, I'm going to play this Quentin Post, and it says, sounds exasperated by question. I'm just going to play it. How about that?
What will it take to get the offense going how you guys need it to go?
Let's see. We just can't turn the ball over. We got to find a rhythm, right? In game one, we had Jimmy. Today, we didn't, so that kind of... disturbed our pace. We got sped up a little bit, but we'll be fine. We'll find a way to, you know, settle us down, get good shots. We'll be fine.
Oh my God. Sounds like you this morning. They're just exasperated by it all.
You know I'm angry when I get here and it's 4:30 in the morning, 4:15, and no one's here, and I'm hate watching my team for the second time, third time, by myself in the studio. That's what I did.
What will it take to get the offense going how you guys need it to go?
Right. Oh, God.
Put that on the board.
888-957-9570. Are you more concerned in the absence of Jimmy Butler? What's more concerning to you with this Warriors squad right now? Is it the offense or the defense? Shasky says offense. They, in their five of their last six games, including the playoffs against the Rockets, they have failed to score over 100 points. I'm saying it's the defense. Lord knows I'm not giving the Rockets any little sliver here to open up that offensive output for a team that struggles already. I want to make it as difficult as possible for them. But without Jimmy Butler, I was very concerned going forward with the interior and exterior defense of the Golden State Warriors. But what's more concerning for you, Dub Nation? Let's go to Joe, who's in San Jose, who wants to join Joe Spadoni and Joe Shasky. Joe, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, first off, these people got to stop trying to jump down. You guys are like the GM, and you guys are running the team. You guys just say what you see, and you spit it out to us, and we see what you see. And, you know, like the lady calling you a clown. You know, I've been in that situation where you go for a rebound, and someone is trying to get positioned as well.
Exactly.
And the guy falls in, flip, and so be it. But the Warriors just have to play a complete Warriors team. They're not playing the 96 Bulls. They're playing the Houston Rockets. They can't. That team cannot keep up with the Warriors. But like I said, the bench has to come together. Everybody's got to join together as one to, you know, to get through this and get Jimmy back for the next round. But don't get on Draymond either. Draymond, without Draymond, we wouldn't have championships. Well, you guys have a good day, I'll catch you back.
I'm going to tell you a story that was told to me many years ago. My mom has this photo of my dad holding me when I was born in the hospital. My dad was, at the time, in a wheelchair with a broken leg.
I can't find the Toms.
I was born in November, okay? He had a really severely broken leg.
Ah.
Well, at the end of that summer, as my mom was pregnant, my dad would always play basketball up the Russian River. He was a big basketball player. You know, even for a short guy, he could
get
up there.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. He had the big Bill Cartwright over the ear.
Oh, is he Pat Spencer? No.
Well, all the guys from that era, Larry Bird, they all shot over the head.
Oh, like me. Okay.
Yeah, yours is not anything like that, dog.
Much like Larry Bird.
I don't know what yours is. It's
unique. How about that? It's unique.
Sure.
It's inadvertent.
That's like when there's like a semi like ugly chick and my wife's like, she's cute.
My shot has a good personality, is what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you.
So
my dad, personality.
My dad, up the Russian River, grabs a rebound, as legend goes, grabs a rebound, and this guy came crashing down on his leg and fractured his leg.
Sounds painful.
Sometimes things happen
when
you're up in the air and you're vulnerable. Now, are levels to it, right? And there's no replay, there's no cameras, all that. But when guys are jostling and you're up in the air and you're vulnerable, things do happen. Guys do get tangled up. You do fall. You do trip. Like, it happens. It does. There were guys crashing all over the place. Was it too physical? I kind of liked the physicality. It was throwback. I kind of enjoyed it.
Well,
you know, part of me really did. But the other side of this
is
like, it's just unfortunate Jimmy got hurt. And sometimes, like, we don't need to have a bad guy. Like, I know people want to point it on Amen Thompson. I don't.
Steve Kerr, after the game, reiterating what you just said about the physicality, you said you kind of enjoyed it. It was kind of refreshing for you. Well, Steve Kerr just gave Houston credit and said they played with great force.
That's what I thought.
Houston played great. They were really physical, you know, just like we expected. They came out with amazing force defensively. Obviously, Green got going, and that loosened our defense up quite a bit. And so it was their night. They played a great game at both ends of the floor. So we just got to lick our wounds and back to work tomorrow.
And did you notice in that first half him getting really, like, pissed off at the refs, yelling at him? He had to call a timeout to cool himself down, because I thought he was going to get teed in a second. He kept complaining. He's like, they're holding Steph. They're holding every two hands every single time. They're holding him. He was getting really upset about the nature of the physicality in that first half, and he spoke to it after the game.
Just the usual stuff, you know. It's playoff time. Everybody's hyped up. I was mad because Gary got tripped. Gary had a dunk, clearly got tripped, and I thought there should have been a foul called, and it wasn't. But, you know, the stuff happens, and I thought tonight's game was all about Houston just outplaying us.
I completely agree.
Real quick, I don't know if, like, did fans want to hear something else from Steve Kerr there and have him talk more about the physicality and what's being allowed? Because there is a way of talking about it where we look at head coaches. You bring up Phil Jackson all the time. He had a very tactful way of speaking through the media and be like, yeah, you know, if we're allowed to just keep doing this, I guess anything's on the table. Like,
wait till the kind of shoot around the next day, though.
Mm.
That's when he would do it. He would do it the next in between games.
Okay.
To kind of let it seep in and make the rounds. That's the way Phil would used to do it. But I don't know, man. This has been a thing his entire career in terms of holding him off ball. And I understand the frustration, but I also understand it's probably the best tactic on how to defend the guy.
Yeah, you got to be physical.
Denying is the way to play. That's the way to play, Steph. And the other thing, fouling him off ball without the ball in his hands, that's one area. What's the excuse for when Şengün's trapping him in the corner? And Şengün is the one getting his hand on deflections. What's the excuse when Jalen Green picked his pocket?
I mean, there is no excuse for that. But again, no Jimmy Butler in that game forced Steph to have the ball in his hands and be more of a ball-dominant point guard, if you will, and be more of a distributor. 9 assists for him yesterday, but what goes with that is 6 turnovers.
Yeah.
Like, that's just, he turned into more of a true point guard yesterday. And what do we know about Stephen Curry, Joe? When he has the ball in his hands too much, he gets sloppy. That's just, That's who he is with his career. Like, I don't know what to tell you at this point. The guy is sloppy with the turnovers at any given point. It could be the next game, he could be clean. The game after that, he can have another six or seven. It just is what it is.
If him and Dre go for over 10 turnovers,
that's bad.
It's not a recipe for success against this team.
Listen,
how about the Jalen Green steal and then right before the end of the third quarter and
the
then
jump ball?
And then the sickest dunk in traffic.
Yeah,
I mean,
it was amazing.
The guy was unreal. He was spectacular. He reminded me of when I've seen Ja cook the Warriors. That's exactly what it looked like.
This show's flying by. We're halfway home. We're going to pick this conversation up on the other side. 888-957-9570. We're awaiting the news for Jimmy Butler, who's expected to have an MRI today. X-rays were negative, according to a source with Tim Kawakami of the SF Standard. We'll get into that on the other side. Do they need, if Jimmy Butler's going to miss some time in this series, how does that change your expectations? Can the Warriors still win this series without Jimmy Butler if he were to miss a couple weeks here or a week or so? 888-957-9570. But first, it's time for the injury report.
It's time for the injury report.
That really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm. Jonathan helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
And again, all eyes are on Jimmy Buckets today as Jimmy was ruled out after going down hard on his tailbone in the first quarter of last night's Game 2 loss. Initial x-rays done at Toyota Center showed no major damage, though Butler was scheduled to fly home from Houston a day earlier to get an MRI done today, which will reveal the full extent of the damage as well as shed light on how long Jimmy could be out. The injury report was brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. What's coming up in the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. More of your calls, more of your texts. Let's get back into it. The Amon Thompson play, was it dirty? Was it not? Jimmy Butler out for an extended period of time potentially. How does that shift the series for you? And what was more concerning after Jimmy Butler left yesterday? Was it the offense or the defense? Oh, by the way, Jonathan Kuminga played over 25 minutes. Is that another wrinkle for this series potentially if Jimmy were to miss some time? We'll get it all broken down on the other side with Spadoni and Shasky. It's going to be brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good.